Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 20. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what a master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. I love these verses. And because I love Jesus, I love every one of you too.
Thank you, Pam. Let's pray together. Father, I just ask that you would take these verses that Pam read and Pam loves, that you would cause them to be imprinted on our hearts and our minds, and that our behavior would be changed. Father, we want to be like you. We want to be like your son, Jesus. May it begin here. In your name I pray. Amen. If you read the newspaper on any given week, or you happen to look through the various news sites, you have to come to one conclusion. Our world has off the rails. And when you look around and you see all that's going on, I mean, it's not just the fact that Ukraine is falling apart in front of us. We still have Syria that we're messing with. And if that wasn't enough, there was a young man who was planning on using bombs and weapons and guns in a school in Minnesota just because he's angry. Oh, and did you hear that the mayor of Toronto said, hey, I smoke crack, no big deal. Oh. There's also an investigation into 55 different universities for sexual predatory and sexual attacks. And by the way, we still don't know where that M370 plane went. They're talking now about 8 to 12 months to try to figure that out. If you look on research, anxiety is at an all-time high. Anger is the most common emotion that we exhibited, and I think there is no question our world needs help. You agree? And in the midst of all of this, there is the church. You know, one of the interesting things I have always respected Bill Hybels for is that he says the church is the hope of the world. I believe that because we have the gospel. We have the good news. We have words of life and words of hope. We have what the community and the country needs. We have what they need. But now we got to get them to hear us. Now we have to get them to somehow pay attention to what we're saying. And how do we do that? I'm going to give you two things. Number one, and this is what they pay attention to. This is what people pay attention to when they're looking. People who are outside the faith, people who do not have a connection with Christianity, they want to know two things. Do we believe something with conviction? Consistency and conviction. Do we believe something? And then they watch, how do we behave? What do we believe? And how do we behave? And that's why we're starting a new series this morning, and it's going to go on for a while, and it is called The One Another's. The One, O-N-E, Another, A-N-O-T-H-E-R-S, One Another's. 50 times in the New Testament, we are told we are to do something to one another, whether it is encourage, whether it is support or forgive or bear with or be patient to or instruct or forgive or love one another. It's how we treat one another, and it speaks volumes about who we are and what it is that we believe. It tells about the veracity of our faith. When Jesus was asked by one of the people who did not always agree with him, what is the most important commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and number one commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. I don't think it's a mistake that Jesus forever linked the idea of our loving God with the loving those around us. And I think maybe a barometer of how much we love God is how well we love those around us. And those who are curious about Christianity want to know what we're going to do and how we are going to react to them. They are watching us. So we're going to begin this series by saying we are to love one another. Makes sense, doesn't it? How many of you heard that one? You're supposed to love one another. It's the word love is only found 686 times in the New Testament. In the New International Bible. 686 times, and God says, I'm going to give you a new command in John chapter 13, verse 34 or 35. I give you a new command. I want you to love one another. I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Romans chapter 13 says, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another, because whoever loves has fulfilled the law. Well, and then there is one, First John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. By the way, how many of you remember singing this song? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, love is born of God, and he who does not love is not born of God. In fact, John even says in his book, 1 John, he says, if you say that you love God and you don't love your neighbor, you are a liar. So let us love one another. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live between him. Since God loved us, let us love one another. And then there's the passage that Pam loves and read for us this morning. Following the Lord's table, Jesus in this section of John got down and washed their feet. It says in John 13, number one verse, that he was going to show them the full extent of his love. And so he gets down, he takes off his outer garments, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he goes and washes the feet of the disciple. And he says, I want you to see what I'm willing to do, and I want you to do just as I do. And you can see the minds of the disciples, man, this is really uncomfortable. Have you ever had your feet washed by someone else that you didn't know real well? And you're standing there and this person's taking you, and I imagine it was easier in the day of Jesus before the age of pantyhose. Washing feet with pantyhose is no simple task, I'm telling you right now. There's no way I want to even go beyond that point. But, you know, you're standing there and they're washing your feet and you're sitting there and the whole time you're thinking to yourself, my feet are so gross. Why is he, you know, and then you're doing it and you're uncomfortable. In fact, I would rather be the washer than the washee. I think it's a much more comfortable place to be the washer than it is to be the washee. But Jesus did this and the disciples are looking at one another and they are thinking, there's no way in the world I'm going to wash this other guy's feet. I've seen where he's walked. Now, they didn't have socks, and they didn't have cars. They had horses. If you need more explanation than that, talk to Woody. And then he says, I want to tell you, and he starts teaching about the Holy Spirit, and we're dropping right in the middle of this conversation, And he is coming up and he is talking to them how essential it is that they stay in him and that he remains in them and they love together to bear fruit, to see the results of the work in the kingdom that God has invested in them. And then he says, let me tell you what bearing fruit looks like. And he says, in the same way, just like the Father has loved me, I've loved you. In the same manner, the love that God has given to me, now I'm passing on to you. I love you the same way God has loved me. I love you in the same strength. I am giving that to you. We have the gift that God gave to Jesus residing in us because Jesus passed it to us. And then he says, I want you to remain in my love. Now, by the way, if you have a King James Bible, it's going to say, I want you to abide in my love. I think that's a better word, abide. One of the names for the place that you live is called your abode. Anybody ever heard that before? You're living on an abode. You know, my abode is 3755 Cotswold Court, way over on the east side, 10 miles from church. You all think it's witness protection territory because you can never find it. I live there. I live in Traverse City. That's what he's saying. I want you to live in my love. My love will live in you, and I want you to live in my love. I want you to work. I want you to commute. I want you to go to school. I want you to shop. I want you to do things with your neighbors. I want you to clean your house. I want you to do everything from recreation all the way to education to anything you're going to do on this earth, you do living in my love. I want you to remain in my love. How do you do that? Obey my commands. Keep my commands. It's fascinating in the Bible how often obedience and love are linked. Love comes out of our obedience, and obedience comes out of love. Have you ever noticed that? Obedience comes out of love. One of the miracles about being married is that you will do things you never, ever dreamed of doing. I was an average kid. I had my jobs. I was willing to do a number of things. And then we had Eric. I was 28 years old when we had Eric. I've never seen, let alone changed a dirty diaper. And now I'm up to my hips in dirty diapers. I am wiping, powdering, changing. I am seeing stuff that no man on the face of the earth should ever have to look at. And I'm taking care of it, I'm wiping it, and it's all, and they're all earth tones. And I'm doing this, and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Because I love him. I love him. What I would have retched over doing some other person I never knew, I do for him, and it doesn't bother me. I love him. I do it out of obedience. I do that out of obedience. I learned to iron shirts. I learned a lot of things. For crying out loud, I even go into Joann Fabrics. I do it because love and obedience go hand in hand. I want you to remain. They're mutually dependent. If you remain in my love, you will Okay, I thought that was my mic. If you obey, you'll remain in my love. Obedience keeps me connected to Jesus. Obedience keeps me connected and basking in his love. It's the same way Jesus got the love of the Father. He obeyed him. I obeyed my Father's commandments and I remained in his love. I did everything that he asked me of me. And because Jesus was obedient, not only did he have the love of Jesus, but he was lifted up to the highest place, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow on heaven and on under earth and in any place. Because Jesus is Lord. That came out of obedience. And then he says something really strange. Look at verse number 11. I told you this so that your joy may be complete, and that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Whoever thought obedience brought about joy? But it does. The result of having a close, living, intimate relationship with Jesus is not only the love that we have for him, not only the obedience we have, but joy is born out of this. Not happiness, which is circumstantial dependent, but it is joy. The basic object of life is that we would see life as being good, something to be rejoicing to God over he has gifted us. How many of you get up in the morning and think to yourselves, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because it is good, even when you find snow on the ground. Do you get up and think to yourself, this is going to be a wonderful day? Do you at the end of the day say, Father, even though all the circumstances have happened, I praise you because you have walked with me, cared for me, loved me, I give you joy. And my joy will be complete, abundant, filled to the brim. If this is your desire, obey my commandment. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. I want you to love one another. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that's not a problem. Really? Really? For those of you who are married, and I don't want you to just stay rock still, but in your mind, I want you to answer this question. Do you ever get frustrated with your spouse? Somebody, you're not being rock still back there. You're giving it away. I've been married now 34 years. I will tell you the truth. I'm not always a treat to have around. Sometimes it's hard to love. I can't be the only sometimes selfish one in the place, am I? Nope. Sometimes, anybody ever here get grumpy? Anybody ever here get unreasonable? Yeah. We're humans. We're sinners saved by grace. Sometimes that sin leaks out and kind of interferes with our spouse. And my wife is wonderful. And that's all I have to say on that topic. But sometimes we're not easy to love. We never have been. Sometimes there are misunderstandings. Sometimes we are in a foul mood. We are not easy to love all the time. And sometimes, you know, we don't make it easy on other people to love us, even in the church. But we're to love one another. That's the command. And Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. And he said, let me give you an illustration. Laying down your life for your friends. The sacrificial love of Jesus is the demonstration that we have. And you're saying, am I supposed to die for the people in the sanctuary? Not today. Maybe someday. But how about this? How about death to ego? How about death to selfishness and priorities and agendas? How about embracing inconvenience? How about embracing humility, which lifts the other person up, raises them higher? I can lay down my life without ever sacrificing a drop of blood. I can do this. You are my friends if you do what I command. I wish we could kind of grab a hold of what Jesus is meaning by the word friends, because we kind of diluted that. Are any of you on Facebook? I'm on Facebook. I have 274 friends on Facebook. Yeah? I thought that was pretty good until I looked at Bennett, my youngest son. He's got 1,263 friends on Facebook. And I thought, well, that's got to be the ceiling. My older son, Eric, he's got 1,760 friends. They don't all come to dinner, I bet. I bet you he doesn't send cards to all of them. You know, we get the idea that if somebody is connected to us by this sort of amorphous program out in the wherever that hangs out, that they're our friends. That they look at our pictures and they kind of stalk at us, which is really kind of creepy. That they're our friends. No, Jesus said, I call you my friend. And the word for friend is filio. P-H-I-L-I-O. Filio. You're my friend. Another way of describing it is you're my beloved. You're my beloved. I love you. Friends is not a squishy term in the hands of Jesus. It is a very concrete term. Somebody that he has accepted, somebody that he has embraced, someone that he would stand for, someone that he would die for. We are friends of Jesus. And it's interesting that not only are we accepted and not only are we supported and we are gifted, but we are also those who demonstrate our friendship with Jesus through obedience. You see, in the church, we are all friends of Jesus. We are all that. There are no cliques. There are no exclusionary groups. Everyone is there. What do I say? In the church, everyone has a place. Everyone belongs. Why? We are friends of Jesus. I don't even call you servants. I don't call you those who just do what they're supposed to. We aren't your, we serve Jesus, but we're not his servant. Why? Because a servant doesn't know his master's business. We are informed. I call you my friends because everything I learned from the Father, I tell you. We know God's plans. We know Jesus' plans because we're part of the plan. We know the plans and desires, the purpose of God, because revelation is part of being a friend, and we are obedient because we're part of the revelation. I said before, we're plan A for the kingdom of God, and there is no plan B. We're it. I find that utterly amazing. And we then have to demonstrate to people what we are about. And how do we do that? Loving one another. They watch us. Love one another. Jesus chose us. Intentionally, directly, he said, you, I want. I choose you, 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 and you, and you. I take all of you. I choose you. I choose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you for the purpose that you would go and bear fruit. I want you to demonstrate the results of the kingdom. I want you to go out, and I want you to produce fruit that will last. You can look all over what we do, all over what we experience, and there is no expiration date on it. We do things that last. You know what that fruit looks like? It looks like Ron Bound driving the van for Safe Harbor, that homeless ministry that we have. Ron Bound, who loves to have talks with them and sits in tread and looks at them and sees them not as a thing to be cared for, but as someone he likes. Someone he has a relationship with. Someone who's important to him. And he asks about them and he gets to know their name and they get to know his name. And they look forward to seeing each other in the morning and in the evening. And one of the things I find is amazing is that Ron misses doing that right now because he doesn't know where his friends are and he worries about them. That's fruit that lasts. That's fruit that lasts. Or when you see May going, how many people does May see in a given week? I'm surprised that woman has even time to go home. She is forever visiting someone, whether it's at this nursing home or that one, taking care of them, investing time, knowing their name, seeing them as a living, breathing, valued part of the community. That's fruit that lasts. That's the fruit that lasts. You see, it happens all over our congregation. We produce fruit that lasts. We are out loving one another in our community. And when we do that, whatever we ask in Jesus' name to God the Father, we get. Now, that little clue doesn't mean that Jesus has turned himself into a divine Visa card. But whatever we say in Jesus' name, for his purpose and his activities, we will get accomplished. Asking in the name of Jesus is asking in his will and desires. So whatever I want that Jesus wants, God's going to see that it happens. This is my command. I want you to love one another. Every day. Continually. I want you to see to the welfare and the benefit of those around you, those who are part of the kingdom of God and those who are not part of the kingdom of God. It's practical. It's intimate. It is hands-on and it is patient. It is to those around us, and we let them know that they have such a high priority in our lives. It is looking at them and seeing that they are so special. We live in a world which sees other people as assets to be exploited. We're not going to go out and beat the doors to get people to come into our church so they can give money and fill our positions. We're going to go out and we're going to share our lives with them. Let me tell you a little something about the newer generations. They don't believe and then belong to a church. They want to come and be with us to see if what we say has any credence, any value at all, and then they believe. We have to love them first before they're going to believe. So when you and I go out and we talk to people, we have to see them as being of the highest value. I know it's kind of a running joke that I go to Speedway, but I know Jen, I know Kathy, I know Katie, and I just talk to them. And they ask me to pray about things. Now, I don't know, maybe I pray that they're someday going to come to church, but I want them to know first and foremost that there is a God in heaven who did everything possible. They want to know what I believe, and they want to know how am I going to behave. It's the same way in your world. Whether you go to Speedway or maybe you go out and hang out with people or whoever you run into at work or however you run into, wherever it may be. What do you believe? How do you behave? I want them to know that I believe in Jesus and I behave like Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I behave like Jesus. It's where we start. Love one another. Everything hinges on that. It's what we learned. It's who we are. It's what we share. It's not hard to grasp. It is a little tough to carry out. But we have the presence and power of Jesus to do so. Let's love one another. Amen? Amen.